Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome back to another episode of Lakers Explained with me, Christian Rivas, and Harrison Fagan. It is, when we're recording this, I don't know what day it is.
It is Monday, honest. The day that we always record. It should be easier specifically on this podcast. Listen. I'm not saying like time is a flat circle right now, but like the day that you record this podcast is a pretty set day in the week. That should be your first hint.
To be honest with you, I'm not even thinking like days of the week anymore. I'm thinking of like days in the bubble. We're not in the bubble, but it feels like we are because that our life has been consumed by the bubble. We're in the bubble now.
Yeah, so. I mean, also, I feel like we've been in a proverbial bubble, especially us as bloggers, like more than most over the last, because like, you know, like we are already not active social people, you know, as like internetsmen. We get most of our interaction with people, or at least I know I do, through the internet, through virtual means anyway. Yeah. It's like I've been joking with people. I've been preparing for this my whole life. And right. So like we are in the bubble, especially during the pandemic, because we no longer have to go anywhere and cover anything, like a lot more. And like, look, like I'm basically living in a Motel 6 at this point. Like that's like the level of, that's like the amenity level of my apartment complex. And so like, I really do feel like I am like an honorary entrant into the bubble, even if I don't actually get to go to Disney World and like see NBA players go by themselves at DJ parties on their own and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I talked to Jacob about this last week, but I'm not sure Rondo's ever been to a Motel 6. And if
I think
he has,
that is unlikely, I will say.
But yeah, it is, the Lakers are in the bubble. I think this is the first time we've talked since the Lakers have been in the bubble, and there is no shortage of content in the bubble, specifically when it comes to social stuff. I've had a lot of fun with that. But that all kind of paused for a bit yesterday. All the fun and good-natured news of the bubble paused on Sunday night when the Lakers reported that, or I guess they didn't report, they announced. The Lakers don't report.
But yeah, the Lakers had it first. They were got the scoop on everybody there.
So Mike Trudell reported that Rondo sustained a fracture to his right thumb during Sunday evening's practice in Orlando, and he's expected to miss the next 6 to 8 weeks, which is what today's show is going to be revolved around, because I think we've made our opinions on Rondo pretty known. I don't think he's a very good basketball player, but when you look at the Lakers' guard depth in the absence of Avery Bradley, I think his absence is a little more significant than it would have been earlier in the season. But the good news is they have a few options and that they didn't have earlier in the season that they have now, which I think makes this discussion worth having, and that's what we're going to do today.
Yeah, I also think that we should answer, like, real quick up front. Like, I know that many of you probably have, like, questions about what the Lakers can do in the wake of this. And I think we're going to get into that from, like, a big picture, like, within the roster perspective. But really quickly, like, I think that we should just clear up, like, a couple things. Like, for one, the Lakers cannot cut, or they could cut Rondo, but there would be no benefit to doing so because his salary is guaranteed already. And, like, they cannot replace him. They can't replace him if they cut him because the bubble rosters have already been finalized, and they can only get a replacement player if a player either leaves because they don't want to be there or leaves because they tested or test positive for coronavirus. And then even in that case, the player can't come back if you replace them. So like the Lakers can't do any of that because Rondo is hurt now. And like that's announced and documented that he's hurt. And so they have no options to replace him from outside of the roster. It is only internally that they can do so.
Yeah, and I know the 6 to 8 weeks timeline is not you know, small. It is a long period of time. But, like, worst case, he's out 8 weeks, which I'm not sure is the worst case. But I'm saying worst case, given this timeline, he's out 8 weeks. He'll be back by, like, mid-second round of the playoffs. And, you know, barring another injury or, like, a surplus of injuries, the Lakers will be in the second round of the playoffs. So, you know, it's not all doom and gloom, but I think
6 to 8 weeks sounds like a long time, but like the Lakers still have like 3 weeks before they're playing games that actually count.
Right.
And so like that uses up some of it. Then they have the whole seeding round that they have to go through and all of that. Like a lot of this time, like you said, is going to get eaten up by the path that they still have until the playoffs. And, you know, like, we see guys come back earlier than the initial timeline for playoff games all the time. Again, like, you know, we're going to get into whether or not the Lakers need Rondo, how much they need him, whatever. But, like, if you are someone who's like, I want Rondo back as soon as possible, like, it's not outside of the realm of possibility that we would see him come back out and play. Like, I believe he's played on a torn ACL before. Like, he played on some kind of grievous injury when he was with the Celtics playing against the Heat. And so, like, Rondo, you know, like, whatever you may think about him, he has proven to be a gamer. This is not me endorsing or, like, saying that he should or shouldn't do this idea. It's just, it is a possibility that he ends up coming back sooner than anyone expects. Like, depending on, I'm not a doctor. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and given Frank's infatuation with him, I wouldn't be surprised if, unless things go really, really well. And I think, you know, there's a possibility that happens. And I'll start by saying that I think the Lakers might actually be better off in the second unit with Dion Waiters in Rajon Rondo's place. Like, I do not think Waiters or Caruso are the playmakers that Rondo is. I think if there's one thing Rondo does well, it's make plays for others, even if, you know, it's not as quick as I think a lot of fans would like it to be, or, you know, as intelligent, for lack of a better term. But I think the shot creation Waiters brings to that second unit is really, really interesting, because Rondo has shot, I believe it's 32.8% from three-point range this season, which is not great. And he shot 31.2% on jump shots, like just from anywhere on the field this season. Waiters' sample size isn't very big. It's only three games, but given his just career, I think you can feel pretty confident in Dion Waiters' shot-making ability, and if not his ability, his willingness.
Yeah, I mean, if we know one thing about Dion Waiters, it's that he's going to be willing to take shots. We just don't necessarily know if they'll go in. But look, like, that is something, because Rondo, I think one of the criticisms that you can levy at him beyond just, like, he's not good is, like, specifically, like because, you know, I think too often, like, we distill the Rondo conversation down to, like, people just say he's bad, they read the numbers, and they move on. And, like, that's fine. And that's a way to simplify it. But specifically, one of the ways that Rondo hurts the Lakers at times is that he is not always the most willing to shoot. So even when he is open, and even when, like, you know, he is spacing the floor, he, like, doesn't even take advantage of the opportunity that's created. And, like, look, defenses are giving him that opportunity for a reason, but at the same time, it hurts the Lakers spacing even more if he's just not even willing to, like, take the shot, which he isn't at times. And so Dion will help in that respect. Like, I kind of hate you a little bit for making me make the case for Rondo, but at the same time, like, to your playmaking point, like, the Lakers, not that Avery Bradley was a playmaker, and so that really, like, affects this in any large way, but, like, the Lakers don't have anyone else with the exception of LeBron James that's, like, unless I'm just forgetting someone from all this time off, that's, like, a really good entry passer, that's a really good guy at, like, setting up their big men and stuff like that. Whereas Rondo, for all of his faults and flaws, was at least a guy who, when LeBron went to the bench early on in games, could come in and, even if he got blown by on defense sometimes, and even if he wasn't that willing to shoot all the time, like, he would get the ball to Anthony Davis, like, in a position to be able to have some success, and that was one thing that he could do well. And the Lakers will probably miss that, because I don't think that they have anyone else who can exactly replicate, like, and I know entry passes don't sound like a lot, but they're surprisingly difficult at the NBA level. Like, not every guy is good at them, and the Lakers just don't have a lot of guys that, like, that's a real plus in their skill set.
Yeah, and I think that was most evident in that Clippers game on opening night when Rondo nor Caruso played. The Lakers just couldn't make an entry pass. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope couldn't make an entry pass. It was just Quinn all Cook, bad.
Yeah, your favorite playmaker?
No, sorry. Sorry, Quinn. But that's a guy I think in the last 24 hours I think has picked up steam in that conversation of him playing big minutes in the postseason and him playing a potentially bigger role as a result of Rondo's absence. And I think there's a reason the Lakers felt the need to go and get another ball handling guard when they had Quinn Cook sitting on the end of the bench. Like, they've seen what he's offered this season. I think in a break glass in case of emergency situation, he'll be useful. But beyond that, I do not think you can or should play him extended minutes in the postseason, especially when you look at the Lakers competition. And the thing I'm most worried about personally is the Clippers, because you look at the Clippers guard depth in relation to the Lakers, and really most teams in the Western Conference guard depth compared to the Lakers, it's not great. Like, yeah, the Clippers have Reggie Jackson, Landry Shamet, Patrick Beverley.
If Shamet comes and joins them, I'm not sure. Has that been confirmed that he's coming after he clears?
I think he's going to. Okay. I think I read that somewhere, but
you might be right. That. I just have not been. I just wanted to make sure that we added that caveat.
Yeah, for sure. They have Rodney Magruder, who I think is a little underrated. And
former G League MVP, I believe.
Right. I feel like I'm missing somebody, but the fact
Lou Williams,
that...
Lou Williams and Patrick Beverley.
No, I already said Lou Williams.
Oh, did you? My bad. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah.
Unless I said them in my head.
I think you may have said them. I did not hear it, but I also, you know, may have been thinking of Clippers guards and so not heard what you were saying.
Yeah, no, it they're deep. And like, that is their entire, if you pick two guards from that roster, I think they'd be among the best guards on the Lakers. So that worries me a little bit. But all that being said, I maintain that Dion Waiters will probably be a plus for the Lakers more so than Rondo was in a lot of ways, even if it's not making plays and making those entry passes you talk about.
Yeah, no, I mean, to be clear, I was not saying that the Lakers are, like, screwed because Rondo is not there to make entry passes. I think there's a lot to what you're saying. Like, I think a couple things I wanted to address from what you just said. But, like, I think Quinn is a guy that, like, you know, Sabrina outlined this really well for Silver Screen and Roll today in her Quinn Cook previously on. So I would encourage you to go read that. That's where all this research comes from. But, like, Quinn, you know, he can score the hell out of the ball. Like, we've seen that. When he gets hot, like, he can get as hot as any like shooter in the league. And but the problem is that that's not every game. And when he doesn't have that, he really is not like an incredibly useful NBA player in terms of having like supplementary skill sets, other than like being one of the nicest human beings you'll ever meet, which I'm sure is great for team chemistry while he's out on the floor and stuff like that. But like, other than that, you know, like, he's not a guy that can bring, I think, a ton to your team. And like you said, to your point on Waiters, like, yeah, I think that he gives them, this is something that we were talking about when we talked about Bradley either last week or 2 weeks ago, the Lakers being well positioned to kind of like deal with that loss, is that they have other guys that bring skill sets that they didn't have already. Like, Waiters, yes, he's not quite the playmaker that Rondo is, and definitely not in the same way, but he does give them a bunch of things that Rondo doesn't. So he doesn't necessarily have to go out there and replace just what Rajon Rondo did well. He can do other things that help, that may help the team more than Rondo was helping them. And I, like, you know, we all know that the path to Waiter's Island is a perilous one. You know, like you have to take like a rickety, like old dinghy, basically. It's shark infested waters, electric eels, like every kind of like danger in the book as you're on your way there to like peak like Waiter's Island. But, you know, when he, like, if he is able to show up for the Lakers, which is a big if, he was like out of the league when they signed him for a reason, but like if he is able to bring some of the skills that he showed when he was on in Miami versus the skills that he showed in getting himself run out of Miami, then like I think that he could be a benefit for the Lakers. And I think that I can speak for all of us when I say that like we deserve Dion Waiters NBA champion. You know what I mean? Like we as a society, I was making this point on a podcast that I did yesterday, but like we have as a society and as Lakers, like, you know, Lakers adjacent people, Lakers fans have gone through so much this, like, during 2020, we deserve to watch Dion Waiters celebrate a championship and play like a significant role in that. Like Dion Waiters deserves his Kobe pass me the ball moment like Ron Artest got, you know, like a guy that obviously Dion was never quite the caliber of player that Ron was, but like Ron was a guy who like, you know, was more known for the ways that he had messed up than being a good NBA player until that. And I think we all deserve like Dion, like we need a Dion, like LeBron pass me the ball excited post-game celebration, or, you know, him doing the like the arms cross thing after like hitting a big shot in a playoff game. Like, just we all like, I think we can all get behind that, and I hope that it happens.
Yeah, I'm glad you like specified plays a big role in the postseason, because it's like Nick Young's technically an NBA champion, but he didn't play a huge role in the. I want Dion Waiters to average like 25 minutes per game because he's averaging like 12 points per game.
Okay, look, Nick Young may not have played a big role in that Warriors championship, but we still got to watch Nick Young celebrate a championship, which was still enough. Pretty great.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he did in his post-game interview suggest legalizing cocaine. So, like, and, you know.
And he called out D'Lo for some reason.
Yeah. Went from snitched on to, like, putting a ring on or something like that. Like, it was not, you know, not the catchiest one, but it was funny. And, like, we all deserve, like, Dion's, like, post-championship Instagram captions and fits.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get back to basketball and not just projections of our expectations for Dion in the postseason.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight, we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
I want to get back to Dion Waiters because I think he is the most interesting person to...
In the world.
Yes, okay. Let's go with that. But no, I think he is probably the most sensible Rajon Rondo replacement. But before we do that, I want to get into another name people have been throwing around when it comes to somebody that's going to benefit from Rondo's replacement, and that's Alex Caruso. And as you know, I am a big fan of Caruso's game.
You're going to get a tattoo of him if he has a breakout playoffs.
That is correct. And I think I can speak for you when I say you're a pretty big Caruso fan, because he's a good basketball player. I think, ironically, when Rondo's been – like, the games in which Caruso's impact has been evident have been in games where Rondo just gets on the floor, lets his defender blow by him, and the Lakers give up a lead that the starters built. That being said, as confident as I am in Caruso's abilities, I think – Rondo not being on the team kind of hinders Frank Vogel's ability to play Caruso. Because I think part of the reason Caruso works is because of the number of ball handlers that are on this team.
This is a good point, LeBron, and I'm glad you're making it.
Yeah. Whether it's LeBron James or Rondo, Caruso's really benefited from not having to be the lead guard. And I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Caruso get reps as the lead guard to see if he's grown at all from earlier this season. Because it's possible. We've seen people, like young players, make leaps midway through the season.
Especially guys that have played as little as he has, like in the NBA yeah. before. Like sometimes it is just a matter of getting reps and seeing things a bunch of time. Like there's a possibility that he got better at that. We just don't know.
And, that was the biggest question mark for him even going into the draft is whether or not he can be a lead guard at the next level. And Caruso really, he's the type of player you want on a superstar team. And yes. in that sense, he is a great young player based on talent alone and ability to lead a team. Like, as much as I like Caruso and as much at fanfare is around him, you wouldn't build a team around Caruso because his skill set is so specific. I don't want to go as far as to compare him to Draymond Green. I think he's more comparable to Lonzo Ball, who people have compared to Draymond Green at the point guard position. But you get what I mean. Just the little things.
Yeah.
And his ability to do those little things are hurt by Rondo not being on the floor.
No, I mean, and him and Rondo, like, I don't know if you have numbers pulled up that can speak to this in your, like, I know you have 90 tabs going right now.
Oh, I do, yeah.
But, him and Rondo was a combination that the Lakers used, and I think that, look, for all of Rondo's faults, he did allow Caruso to play exactly the type of role that you're playing in not the same way that LeBron does, but in a similar, like, fashion of not requiring him to be the lead ball handler and letting him do what he does best on offense, which is cutting off the ball, and then he could kind of make up for Rondo's deficiencies a little bit as like by being able to take the more talented perimeter player and stuff like that. And so it wasn't a perfect combination by any means, but it was one that allowed Caruso to play to his strengths a little bit better than some of the other guards on the Lakers might do so. Like Caruso, like for example, Caruso and Cook, like they can complement each other defensively in the same way in that Cook is also not a good defender and Caruso can kind of cover for him and allow him to maybe hide a little bit on like a less threat and guard, but like on offense, Cook does not have the like playmaking chops like that Rondo does. And yeah. yes, he could space the floor, and so that helps Caruso in a different way. But then at that point, you kind of need LeBron on the floor with them because you need somebody to create those plays, and like neither of them are really going to do it. And so, like the other thing as far as Caruso goes is that he. Like if you look at his minutes totals for like his entire NBA career, it's 17.8 this year, 21.2 last year, and 15.2 the year before. He's not a guy who's played high minutes at the NBA level. And like, I'm not, again, he can obviously he's a guy that's in shape. He could play more than he's played so far for sure. Like it's not like a conditioning issue. I just wonder if you go from basically playing that amount your whole career, then you stop for 4 months and then you come back and you're asked to play like 30 minutes a game. Like to me, that sounds potentially inadvisable from a health perspective, at least right away until your body kind of gets used to that much, you know, stop and start things like that.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's probably true. And to go back to what you were saying about having numbers pulled up, I do have most of them pulled up. If you had a guess, the player that Caruso has spent the most time with this season, assuming you don't have them pulled up, who'd you guess he spent the most time with?
My guess would be, the way you're phrasing it makes me feel like it's a trick question. So I'm going to say I'm going to say Rondo, but I thought my first guess was LeBron.
No, so it's actually Dwight.
Oh, okay.
Which surprised me. And they've posted actually a really good net rating of 11.7 together this season. So Rondo has played at least 300 minutes with six players on the roster. Rondo, LeBron, KCP, Alex Caruso, Anthony Davis, and Dwight Howard. of those players, he has that's silly. He has a net rating of more than 10 with three of them being LeBron, KCP, and Dwight Howard. But to your point about Rondo,
those sound like closing lineups, honestly, like the later game lineups where seriously. Cause like Dwight has been good in those like fourth quarter minutes. LeBron's led them on some run. Like Rondo's been on the floor for some of that. So like KCP has been in there. So yeah.
And I'm not sure if, you know, Dion Waiters and Caruso, that backcourt's going to work because of the playmaking, but I think we've seen that Rondo can thrive along another ball handling guard, even if he's not like a traditional 3-point shooter, which is, I think I wrote about this a bit last week when I wrote about Caruso, but that really is just the next step in his development, is knocking down a reliable 3-point shot. Because with what he brings on defense, if you play defense and can make open 3-point shots, you have a spot in the lineup on a LeBron James team.
Yeah.
Like forever.
He's just got to make those threes. And like, yeah, that's the big question mark with him. I think also I think that lineup potentially could work as well. Like, again, it's meager pickings here. It's not like, would that be your starting backcourt voluntarily? It's like, of the Lakers options, what are the like best, what are the best combinations that you could put together? And I think that is a potential nominee if we're looking at like bench lineups and stuff and people to play together. Also, like, we've seen that Dion, when he's engaged, can be an above average defender. Yes. And so him and Caruso, you know, even outside of like the fit offensively, again, big if, we got to see what kind of conditioning it looks like Dion's in, but he has good length. Like, he has at least decent instincts on that end, even if he's not always the most engaged in his career. But if he is engaged and he comes and he's like ready to play, then that could be a pretty decent defensive backcourt, especially against second units where it's not like usually the best ball handlers either. And so that potentially could be a strength for the Lakers, again, in a way that the Rondo Caruso one wasn't, because Rondo was so bad defensively most of the time.
I don't think words can express how like inconsolable I'd be if Alex Caruso and Dion Waiters locked down Patrick Beverley and Lou Williams in the playoffs. Like, I don't think I'd know how to act on Twitter.
No, yeah. I mean, I definitely have to take away your SSR, like, admin privileges for the account.
I would get so many jokes.
You already got us blocked by Lou Williams, yeah. And I can't have you getting us blocked by Patrick Beverley, too, you know?
That was like, an accident.
Yeah,
that
wasn't it.
It was Lou a Caruso joke.
I will say this. Lou blocks a lot of people on Twitter. He has not blocked me yet, but I have heard from many reporters that he has been blocked by them. People that he interacts with on a daily basis, that he has been blocked by following them following him on Twitter. He does not, like, he doesn't give a second chance on that. If you tweet something he doesn't like, he doesn't want you on his feed.
Just get those jokes off, I guess.
Yeah.
No regrets.
Jalen Rose-esque blockability.
I want to make one more point about Rondo and Caruso and why I think the Waiters Caruso backcourt will work. And it's actually tied to Rondo and Caruso's net rating together. They posted a 5.9 net rating together, which is only worse than the net rating LeBron James and Rondo have posted together this season, which is an 8.1 net rating, which I think is crazy because, I mean, just for me, I think watching them last season, I hated every minute they were on the floor together.
Yeah, 8.1 is pretty effective. Like, that's good. Yeah.
So,
but the fact there is some context there to that that I think, yeah, I don't know if you're going to get into it right now, but you can get into it in a second if you want.
I actually don't know what you're talking about. Is it the fact that they play with AD?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at lineups with Rondo, LeBron, and AD. The one that's played the most has only played 25 minutes together, which is kind of surprising. But in that lineup's posted a 1.4 net rating, and it's with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Kyle Kuzma, which an AD at center lineup, not a super impressive net rating. But, you know, there's potential.
Yeah, no, for a one, just for context for people, a 1.4 net rating would be like that'd be like the 14th team in the league. They basically turn like the Lakers into this year's Indiana Pacers.
Which, I mean, you know, not a bad team. But the only other lineup that has caught my attention, at least in terms of net rating, is the lineup of Rondo, Danny Green, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Kyle Kuzma. It's only 10 minutes together, but they posted a net rating.
I mean, 10 minutes is like
3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
10 minutes were like, I thought you meant the, I thought you were looking at like the 3-man combination of them.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm looking at just lineups with them three that I've played the most minutes together. And yeah, that's one that caught my eye. It's not a lot. I just really like small sample size stuff because the numbers are always silly.
Yes. I mean, that is definitely true.
But yeah, beyond that, I cannot see anyone else stepping into that role and really making a big difference. Although we talked about this a little before the show, and the player with the best net rating next to LeBron James and Anthony Davis is Quinn Cook. Only 25 minutes, but again, a 19.7 net rating in those 25 minutes. Small sample size is fun. And after that, I mean, I think you can all, like, we can all guess who it is. It's Alex Caruso. 19.4 net rating.
The true GOAT.
29 minutes. Yeah. The Lakers' big three, as we like to call them.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've taken to calling them as well, for sure. The Rondo, LeBron, and AD is a on the year. Do you want to guess what lineups featuring those three together have as a net rating?
LeBron, Rondo, and AD.
God. Yeah, LeBron, Rondo, and AD is -5.2.
Oh no!
All together. That's what I was trying to in reference to. So I was frantically looking that up. But the three of them together, like Rondo and AD, has been all right. Rondo and LeBron has been all right. It's for some reason the three of them together, they turn into like a non-playoff team.
Oh dear God! That's
in 117 minutes. So it is somewhat limited, but it's enough that you're like, okay, that's obviously not working optimally, even if. Like, you know, it's not like that's like two games, basically. That's like two full games, basically.
And it's not even the defensive rating that's bad. It's the offensive rating.
Well, I mean, look at that's not a lot of strong. That's three, like, not non-shooters, but not guys that defense are going to play for their shot. And so it really cramps up the floor,
which brings me back to the
like even
point.
LeBron can shoot now, but like even teams, like if he's spacing, teams are still like, you know, like they aren't just gonna like basically they aren't like leaving him alone to shoot and stuff like that,
which is why, again, whether it's with the second unit or the first unit, which I don't think will happen, wishful thinking on my part, but I think Dion Waiters is gonna make the Lakers offense operate a lot differently and arguably more efficiently.
I think it's fair to say that he fits better in their best lineups than Rondo does.
Yeah.
Theoretically. Like, let's if you're hope, looking at like a closing lineup, he probably fits there better than Rondo does. Because if you have LeBron on the floor, you really don't need Rondo. It's like the non-LeBron minutes where you really need someone like that.
Yeah.
And like, so, you know, but in the game minutes where the games matter most, like Rondo is probably never going to be playing those minutes outside of like, unless it was like the best night of his career or like, you know, Frank Vogel was just given no other choice.
Before we go, I want to get your thoughts on, or I guess I should say your ideal hockey sub 5-man bench lineup with Rondo out.
It's a good question. Like, you know, honestly, I want to see the Waiter. So we're assuming here in this case that KCP is the starter, right?
Correct.
Okay. Like, because Frank Vogel, I think, said that he likely would be. I think I'm looking at the roster here. I think honestly, it probably would be, you know, like obviously Dwight. He's, you know, he's in that role whether I want him there or not, but he's been great, so like he deserves that. I think probably Caruso. I guess Kuzma. at least to start. Like, I kind of want to see what he has. Like, I think there's going to be arguments to be made that maybe he'll be even deeper down than that. Like Dwight, Caruso, Kuzma, Waiters, and yeah, this is getting interesting real quick.
I know who I have, but I think the reason you're not thinking
LeBron staying in the game.
No, I think the reason the name didn't pop up to your head is because I think you have Kuzma playing at the four. I think they'll probably slide down Kuzma to the three and have Markieff play the four.
Yeah, that was the guy that I was basically debating between him or JR.
Yeah. Which it all depends on which direction Frank goes.
I think I'd probably lean Markieff based on what we've seen right now. Like, I mean, yeah. I got to see what JR looks like.
I'm more confident in Dion than JR, and I think most people are on that boat, but I'm not of the belief that JR can't help at all.
Back when they were originally getting signed, I think I was a little bit more on the JR one. Like, I leaned that way, I think.
Yeah, so was I.
But yeah, I think like Dion, like at this point, I think we have to guess is going to be able to help them more just because like he got those 2 weeks of extra practices, like,
and
you
role.
Know, yeah. Yeah.
So, well, unless you have any final thoughts, Harrison, I think that's our show for today.
I only had one final thought, and it was, Christian, I need to know, like, as we're signing off here, what has been your favorite Lakers story to come out of the bubble so far? I'm talking silly stories. Like, I don't, you know, J.R. Smith shooting the ball well, I don't care. Like, that's not what I want to hear about right now. Like, this is just for, like, stuff that we have heard about off the floor.
I like that Dwight Howard was the only player to show up to, like, that DJ set. My question was, like, when it was announced, who's going to show up to that? And in hindsight, I feel kind of dumb for not saying, like, the reply to myself being Dwight Howard's going to show up. And I just worry. I feel bad because, one, DJ Nasty, who was DJing at the Grandestino, great DJ name, by the way, that couldn't have been a fun show for him. I don't think social gatherings are super recommended right now. But
imagine getting flown all the way out there and the only one person shows up to watch your set.
Well, there were the Disney workers and bartenders too.
Yeah, no, the other people that were there and found out there was only one person. Like, hey, look, you know, honestly, I bet Dwight had a great time. Dwight loves music, if there's one thing that I've learned from being in the Lakers locker room after games this year. And, like, I honestly, like, if we get some footage of Dwight just, like, dancing, like, crazy dancing by himself to this DJ set, like, for, you know, upwards of 20 to 30 minutes, I would not be surprised. Like, he seems like he would not care that there were other people there and would just go for it.
I think he might have Instagram lived it. But what is your favorite story so far?
I mean, honestly, that's the only answer right now. But like, probably second favorite was J.R. Smith's Instagram live from opening night.
Getting in trouble.
Where, J.R. Smith just basically ranting about how bad it was for 2 hours in hilarious fashion, and then getting told by someone, the NBA, LeBron, the Lakers, PR His department.
Agent. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody gave him the hook, and how disappointed he sounded that he was in trouble. Just destroyed me, in addition to his like anger over not having a blanket and the size
of the blanket he got.
Yes. And then also the candy that they gave him, and how his analogy between, you know, it was like trying to put, like, I think he said, like, Lamborghini fuel in, like, I forget what kind of car he specified.
I think it was a Ferrari and a Suzuki.
If something like that. Yeah. But, like, you know, as if, like, you know, I know different cars take different fuels and stuff like that, but there are, like, some nice cars from each brand that take the premium fuel. But, you know, the whole thing was great. And it was like, you know, like, I think all of us are a little bit, you know, we all obviously want basketball back, but I think all of us are curious to see how this bubble situation is going to go. But it has just been nice to have some fun storylines to follow versus just, like, tracking when the NBA is going to be back and talking about all this theoretically. Like, you know, watching the team just kind of be together again, even though it's socially distanced, has been a lot of fun. Like, JR today, like, screaming during Danny Green's Zoom availability and all that. Like, I think, you know, it's just, like, I think it's going to be a nice thing to kind of lift all of our spirits, hopefully, as long as it doesn't go wrong. And also, whatever Kings player got, like, you know, grounded for accidentally breaking quarantine for takeout is, like, that might be funnier than the Dwight story. And I hopefully look forward to more headlines like that than, like, sad, like, actual problem headlines. Like, I want more, like, funny Firefest headlines than, like, actual issues headlines.
I just want to know where it was from. There are very few foods in my life that I think I'd put other people at risk for, and my career at risk for.
Well, and, let's just say it's totally safe for you, everyone else, whatever. Like, that's not the risk. But your choice is, you can go get takeout, but you have to go sit in a hotel room by yourself for 10 days. Like, and that's the consequence. Like, is there any food you would go and do that for? Like, I don't think there is for me.
Man, I don't know. I'll tweet the answer if I think of it. But
the only correct answer is your mom's cooking, because that's you know, that's what, like, which Kings player was it? Was it Rashawn Holmes?
Rashawn Holmes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. His mom actually roasted him on Twitter, which gave me life today. And you know, like, I think if your mom tweets making fun of you and you're an NBA player, like, that should add an extra 5 days to the grounding in the hotel, like, just so that people forget about it by the time you're out.
And then Michelle Roberts quote tweeted it, saying,
"Oh,
that she
no,
agreed."
Did she also make fun of him?
Yeah, she, the president of the Players Association.
What did she say?
She, I think she just said that she agreed that she was in full support of his mother's message, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I think at that point he may have to consider leaving the bubble. Like, you know, I think it might be time for Rashawn Holmes to pack it up and go home. And look, like, I think Kelly Oubre, as I said on Twitter, executed one of the greatest bait and switches of all time in saying, "I know where to get takeout." Like, I want to believe that, like, this is what I'm choosing to believe in my head, that Kelly Oubre, like, Rashawn Holmes DM'd him and was like, "Okay, where do I go pick it up?" And Kelly Oubre told him outside of the bubble and then called the snitch line on him.
Yeah.
Because he wants the Suns to make the playoffs.
He was planted at the line, like, where it was supposed to be crossed. Or he honestly could have just been in the car with a mask on and been the one to deliver him the food.
Yeah. He got a job at another restaurant just to try and eliminate Kings and Grizzlies and Pelicans players. So I'm just saying, watch out for Kelly Oubre. Like, he's coming for the playoff teams. Like, he's going to try and tempt Zion out of the bubble. And, you know, by, like, day five, like, you know, that might not be too hard.
I just realized he's not even playing.
Who? Kelly Oubre?
Yeah.
Why is he there?
I don't know. Unless I'm
anyway, we've gone way off track. We will figure this out and get back to you on next week's Lakers Explained.
Yeah,
yeah, apparently Kelly Oubre is in the bubble just trying to be an agent of chaos. Yeah. So
bravo.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, respect. As long as he doesn't get anyone sick, in which case we disavow Kelly Oubre on this podcast.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for hanging with us. We'll be back next week.